April 15th, Saturday in the octave of Easter. This Jesus business was getting annoying. He had appeared out of nowhere proclaiming a new kingdom where God ruled, a kingdom of justice for the poor and peace for all. He had attracted a considerable following, drawn by reports of healings and other miracles. So the Romans and their Jewish collaborators had done what despots always do to those who challenge their authority. They had eliminated him in the most painful, public, and humiliating way possible. Except it did not seem to be working. Here were his disciples, quote, uneducated, ordinary men, claiming that he had come back from the dead and preaching just as boldly as he did. They'd even performed a miraculous healing, as he supposedly did. And the evidence was right there in front of everyone. The situation was getting out of hand, so the authorities tried more intimidation and threats. They will follow that up, as we will see later in Acts, with imprisonment, torture, ostracism, even execution. None of that would work either. As Peter and John confidently told them, whether it is right in the sight of God for us to obey you rather than God, you be the judges. It is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard. Their commitment was unshakable. This incredible transformation of the apostles is and was one of the surest signs that they truly had seen Jesus risen from the dead and had complete confidence in him who had triumphed over all the forces of evil and injustice, even death itself. The Christian message has always faced opposition in practically every era, region, and culture. It challenges people to surrender to God's will, which means giving up their own autonomy and comforts and putting the needs of others first. It often requires people to change their loyalties, their beliefs, and their practices. This inevitably meets resistance, some of it very powerful, even violent. The church celebrates a long list of martyrs from its very beginning to the present time, and they could be found in every part of the world and in every situation, from where Christianity is new to where it has been well established. There have always been internal threats as well, from selfishness, moral weakness, misuse of power, abuse and injustice in the church's own leadership. Yet somehow the church goes on, while those who tried to eradicate it, starting with the Roman Empire, have faded into history. The power and glory of the risen Christ is undiminished. The struggle continues today. The church is under great pressure in many parts of the world, including India, China, Vietnam, parts of Africa, Nicaragua, and elsewhere. Even where there is not blatant opposition, there are subtle pressures to conform to a culture that rejects many Christian values. We see it in our own country. Those who are truly committed to those Christian values, including reverence for God and the sacredness of human life, integrity, justice, genuine care of the poor and excluded, and a welcome for migrants, and an ethic that puts the common good above self-interest, are mocked, demeaned, shouted down, excluded, sometimes even threatened with violence. We have all felt it in one way or another. It is hard to be a real Christian today, if we take it as seriously as it deserves. when we come up against the pressure, the determined opposition, and even worse, the mass indifference to our faith today, not to mention our own weakness and failings individually and as a church, it can be discouraging. We are tempted to ask, is it worth it? And how can we, with our limited numbers and powers, possibly overcome all those forces arrayed against us? I am sure the disciples and all their successors throughout the centuries have wrestled with the same questions. Today's gospel notes how they struggled to believe in Jesus' resurrection when they had seen the apparent power of his enemies to destroy him and anyone that would follow him. But with the disciples, we have to take to heart Jesus' command to, quote, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Sharing their assurance that the gospel has its own power far beyond anything we can bring to it, and it will not be denied. We should not underestimate the influence of lives lived in genuine integrity, devotion, and charity, especially when it's done together in a strong and supportive community. That witness stands out, especially in a society where so many people have to make their own way with little sense of shared meaning and purpose, weak moral direction, and a flimsy and incoherent network of relationships. I asked one woman who had recently converted to Catholicism what drew her to join the church. She pointed to the rich faith life she saw in her Catholic friends, their strong moral commitment, especially to caring for the poor, and their loving and supportive community. She said, that was something I wanted for myself and my family. We hear similar stories in many different forms as people enter the church at Easter, here at Trinity, and in parishes everywhere. Discouragement is a weapon the evil one uses to try to separate us from one another and from Christ. We always need to remember how lavishly gifted we are in our faith and to keep it always at the center of our lives, firm in the confidence that Christ will work in us to conquer all the powers that oppose him.